Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Tombstone Podcast, a podcast where we talk about video games, the video game industry, and whatever we want. It's been about 2 weeks since we've last convened and recorded. We've had our Christmas breaks going on, and it was just too much to get together and record, so we decided to just, you know, lay low, spend some time with family, enjoy being off of work and whatever it is. But Let's get the actual introduction going. My name's Devin.
I'm Kevin.
My name's Dominic.
And Zach.
And we are going to have hopefully a pretty good episode today. We're going to be reviewing the decade because we're in 2020 now. And there's a whole 10 years of video games that happened. And a lot has happened over those 10 years. But before we get to that, what games are y'all playing, Kevin?
Well, I actually finally got to play Baba Is You, and it's just as fucking mind-bending as you would think. If you understand it, it's basically a push-block puzzle, but you can push words together, and they make the rules of the universe. So if you say, wall is stop, well, then you can run into it and it'll stop you, but if you break that sentence, now you can go through walls. And there's all kinds of logic fuckery that happens from that. And it's like, I can only take it in small spurts because I'll just look at something and go, my brain's not ready for this puzzle right now. I'll come back to it later. But it's really cool. I really very much enjoy it.
Yeah, I've been wanting to get that game. I just haven't actually gotten it yet because it does seem like a very fun puzzle game.
Yeah, it is on Switch.
But it does seem like it will be very taxing to play, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, definitely.
That's why I said you can only do it in, like, small spurts. Because
yeah,
it's like,
you showed it.
Definitely.
You showed it to me, and I played, like, maybe the first two levels, and by, like, level three or so, I just started sweating, because I'm like, I was like, I gotta figure this shit out
now. My brain's working too hard.
Yeah, it's weirdly addicting, too. It's like, because once you really get the hang of it, then you're like, okay, now I gotta finish everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Dominic, what you been playing?
It's actually my small ambition in the past maybe week or so. I got a Guitar Hero controller that was made for the Wii, and I had an adapter for it that plugs into your computer for a long time, but I just never did get my controller back from my parents' place, and so I ended up just getting a new one. So I've been doing Clone Hero, and getting back into the Guitar Hero muscle memory and the physical mechanics of Guitar Hero is it's so much fun. And like I'm only just scratching the surface on how incredible the Clone Hero experience is, because people like go off the walls about it.
Yeah, I've been wanting to get a Guitar Hero controller and start playing as well, but they are a little bit expensive. They're like $100, $75, $100
For a Guitar Hero 2 one, maybe. I mean, the Wii one is maybe like $40, I want to say.
Are they that cheap? Because last time I checked, they were, because they don't make
it's
them
anymore.
It's
probably around $40, but then you got to buy an adapter, which is another like $25. So
I mean, so the controller was around $40. That was like new on Amazon, and then the adapter was like $10 on eBay. So, and it worked.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah. I definitely want to do that so I can get into playing Guitar Hero again because I miss it.
Oh, dude, it's great. And I mean, because you can download all the previous games too. Like, you can get Guitar Hero 1 through like whatever the.
Well, you can just people mainly just. Because Clone Hero uses Guitar Hero 3, I believe, and all they do is just custom charts. Like, people just make custom charts, so you don't really have to get the other games because you can just get that song.
Right. If it's my understanding, I think they use the Guitar Hero World, because World allowed you to do tapping without strumming and the
open bar. Yeah. So it is World. That yes, you're right. Zach, what you been playing?
Well, I got a little bit back into old school RuneScape, but
a little bit. God bless.
While that's on the side, I've been getting back into Monster Hunter World since the new DLC's coming out. So,
I was very interested in Monster Hunter World, but then I played a few minutes of it, and I think what we talked about when I did that was like it is so much more enjoyable with a group.
Yes.
In my opinion.
It's it's almost unplayable if you don't have people to play with.
Yeah. But I mean, it visually and game mechanics and gameplay, it's such a really, really well done game. Maybe if we get a small group together, we can hunt some monsters.
Maybe. We have a good bit of
games multiplayer that
we're trying to play. To do, yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, we've been playing, of course, been playing Apex, like just a shit ton of Apex. I've also been playing RuneScape. We have Golf with Your Friends that we've played.
Oh God, yeah.
There was what else do we have? Oh, Borderlands 3. We gotta play more of that. It's just hard during the week because Zach has a night schedule, so it's hard to play that. What have I been playing lately? I think that's basically all I've been playing. I got a little bit back into Binding of Isaac, Afterbirth.
Ooh, yeah.
But other than that, Star Wars Jedi Knight, Jedi Fallen Order. That game is... I solved a puzzle last night that I'm pretty sure was not the right way to solve a puzzle.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
It might be the same one that I did and John Mark did, because me and John Mark talked about it, and we were like, yeah, I don't think that's how you... Because we both solved it differently.
Was it burning a
it was
like the vines on a chain?
You have the vines on the chain and then like pulling the chain. I'm pretty sure I broke the game at some point because you can force pull the little like cable, and I was on the thing it lifts when I pulled it to me. So it pulled it up and started moving the platform, but moving the platform pulled the cord more, so it just kept flying up into the ceiling. I was like, help.
Yeah, It was weird because like I feel like I went around a way that they were not expecting you to go around, because I used the fire things that you get from the magnetic part, and then you had to climb up the vine wall. I basically dropped one right there and then climbed up the vine wall and then force pulled one of the fire orbs and then kind of sat way back and then like force pushed it, missed the first time, and then got a second one and hit it the second time. And I'm pretty sure that's not what they wanted you to do.
Yeah.
I actually have no idea what the intended, because I was like, okay, I know what I have to do. I just don't know how to go about it. So I was basically just trying to figure out a way to go all the way around with one of those fire things.
Yeah.
And that's what I eventually did.
I felt like that, except I went to like a previous room and kind of finagled it up where it probably wasn't supposed to be, and then just kind of tossed it and hoped it hit the vine. And I tried that about like five or six times, and eventually worked. And I was like, that doesn't seem like that's what I'm supposed to do, but okay.
Yeah, so that's that. My issue is yeah, there's definitely some puzzles where I'm like, oh, like I get it. I get what I'm supposed to do, but you're not... like you're making it too vague. Mm-hmm. Really, that's what I figured. It's like some of the solutions are very, very vague
to me. But that one, that's the worst puzzle in the game, because almost everyone I know is like, I don't think that's how I was supposed to do it.
Yeah I don't know what the intended solution is.
I think another
big gripe that I have with the game is that there's too much backtracking. Like, you can have one of the worlds where it's like you go along and then there's a path that you can't go, and then you get either a force upgrade or you get an upgrade on BD1, and then you can go further, and then there's another spot where you can't go any further, so then you have to go continue on. So it's kind of hard to... some of these paths are just like you leave your ship and then you're just going for like 5 minutes to get back to where you were at that spot that you couldn't get to before, and then you just keep going, and then you hit another wall, then you have to backtrack all the way to the ship. I kind of wish that there was an easier way to just like travel to your ship, whenever you're like, okay, I just want to leave now. But that would take away from the game. But also, they didn't plan out some of these worlds where, you know, your shortcuts kind of aren't shortcuts, because you would have to go out of your way to get to the shortcut to then get back to where this is. So then you can, like, take this other shortcut to get to your ship. And it's like, I have to look at the map every other minute to figure out where I'm going and where I need to go. And it's a little bit, like, it's not, the path isn't exactly clear on where you're supposed to go. And it can be, I can't tell if it's just I need to play it more and just get more used to the layouts of the maps, but I get turned around so fast and I'm always checking the map.
Yeah, they didn't quite Dark Souls it, where you just kind of like, in Dark Souls, it's pretty reasonable to go from one area to another. It's not that long. And at the exact moment that it does get too big, they just kind of give you warping, you know? And the level design in Jedi Fallen Order is much more sprawling. Like, it does kind of use verticality a little bit, and it's interesting level design, but it does still, like, spread out further and further and further. And it's like, all right, now I need to get back to the ship. Well, I guess who's walking for, like, 20 minutes?
Yeah. Also, like, I want more boss fights. I really haven't had an actual boss fight yet, which is concerning. I'm like, well, you know, I want boss fights, because the regular enemies, you can usually cheese them pretty well and just, or run past them. So fighting is, the combat's really fun, but a lot of the times I'm either just fighting, like, easy to kill mobs, or your force powers really make it to where you can cheese a lot of mobs as well. A lot of, like, the kind of, like, the, what are the black stormtroopers, the death troopers, or is that what they are?
I don't remember.
But, yeah, I haven't really had a boss fight. I've had one boss fight, really, and
there are more, but there aren't a lot more, you know? Like, they're kind of stacked toward the end, but there still aren't that many. Like, you could, if I had to ballpark it, it might be around, like, 5 or 6 total, like, boss fights with, like, a boss health bar and shit, you know? There might be, like, 5 or 6.
Okay. Well, that's enough talking about that game.
And it's funny, I think we were going to do, we planned to do an episode about that, so, well.
There's still a lot more to say, so we should. But,
and I also haven't finished playing it, so
there's also
I need to do that. So let's do, all right, so yeah, let's start our decade in review. I don't know how y'all want to go about this. I don't know if y'all have, because I just kind of have, like, a few bullet points of, like, wow, this is what's happened in this decade, that it's kind of crazy that it's a lot of big things have happened in the gaming world in only 10 years.
Yeah.
Whoever wants to take it first, go ahead. I don't know who, Dominic, you want to go?
Sure. I can start. I have a small little master list, and we can just sort of talk about them as we go. In no particular order, or actually it's probably more alphabetical order. Honestly, it's the one that came to mind for me in this, just going down this list, was Amnesia. Like, we've talked a good bit about Amnesia, like the Dark Descent, and I think maybe it's other versions, but I think we can agree that Amnesia was a pretty quintessential horror experience. That was definitely something to note. I mean, some of the big hits, I mean, I think in its short time, Apex Legends really did polish the Battle Royale experience. It definitely has some room to grow, as does, like, a lot of these other just multiplayer-based games are. But, I don't know, I think it was a very polished Battle Royale experience, and I'm sure that y'all can agree. I know Devin and I drop in all the time. Zach, you know, it's your job.
I think, but, Zach has to play it so much, he's just like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish it wasn't your job, because, I mean, you did actually like playing it with us whenever it first came out. you and like we played it a good bit, and then it became your job, and now you're just like, I don't want to, like, whenever I clock out, that's it. I don't even want to hear about it.
Clocking out is clocking out. Yeah. But I mean, there are some others. I'll just some of these huge ones we can just get out the way because people have talked about them so much already, and we've done some episodes on some of these. I mean, Fortnite, of course, reshaped what I call the kids game, almost, like, not like, you know, early childhood or anything, but like it was awarded. I mean, it's the top teen choice of 2018, best multiplayer 2018, best ongoing 2019, and you know, it's the modern day Call of Duty for middle school kids.
It's the weird fusion of Minecraft crowd and Call of Duty crowd. It's like a weird fusion of those two because it's like cartoony and kiddie, but it's also really competitive, like Call of Duty, and it just scooped up everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I was gonna bring up one of the biggest things that happened this decade was battle royales.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a battle royale now, and a lot of them have tanked, and really only a few are sticking around. You know, we started off with H1Z1, and then, you know, that spawned PUBG. PUBG became like the first popular one. Mm-hmm. And then after that, Epic Games released Fortnite, which, you know, theirs was, well, they released their Fortnite survival mode,
which
first
was what the base game was supposed to be.
Yeah, which, yeah, it's what the base game is. It's, you know, you can gather resources and build fortifications, and you have to fight waves of zombies, I think, with your friends. And then they're like, well, we can just turn this into a battle royale because, I mean, it's already squad-based, and all we got to do is just make you fight other squads.
Yeah, and Epic made the engine that they were using to do PUBG, if I'm not mistaken. So they made a mm-hmm. bunch of tools that were well-suited for battle royales, and then they were like, fuck it, we've got all these tools, let's just make a battle royale.
Yeah, right, and PUBG really fell behind because
it doesn't actually look good, it doesn't perform good, like
it's one of the worst one of the worst playing games that you can play, that's like a major title that people play. Mm-hmm. It doesn't perform well at all, you know,
on like any platform.
it's been in beta for, which is, I think that's another big thing that's also a bad thing from this decade, is everything's in early access or beta for
an eternity.
5 years, 6 years, yeah. 7 years, because they can just sell copies and not worry. But that's, let's talk about battle royales right now.
Yeah.
So you had, I mean, you had PUBG, which was kind of, because I think all of these are also offshoots of, you had like Hunger Games was out, the movie and the books. Hunger Games was out, so like that idea of like of everyone dropping in and looting and fighting each other and having like supply drops and specific things that you can have, I think that idea, I mean, Minecraft had the Hunger Games game mode. I don't know what came first. I don't know what the first battle royale was, but I imagine that was probably around that Hunger Games era, is whenever battle royales really started and they got popular and people started making them. And then you had PUBG become really popular. And from that, then you have Fortnite. Fortnite comes out and it's a free-to-play game. It's the free-to-play model where you have, you know, in-game currency that you can buy cosmetics, and it's insanely popular. So then everyone and their mothers has released a battle royale. Fucking Fallout 76 has a battle royale.
Does it really?
And yeah. Yes. Oh, and Fallout 76 no. is probably the worst game to get released in the decade, the biggest flop to get released in the decade,
among yeah,
and it has a battle royale mode, and you have people that are making Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, I just wanted to, I think Fallout 76, I agree. I think it's probably the most flopped, because the only other thing I can think of in the past years that has really flopped on that level, because Fallout 76 made national news. Like it made so much so much press about
multiple times.
it made the press because of one issue that Bethesda did, or one thing in the game that's not resolved. Like, it made so much news so frequently in its emergence that I think it's worse than the Battlefront 2 craze. When
oh yeah, it was,
well,
definitely
Battlefront 2 did one thing wrong. And then they took it back, which, like, whatever, yeah. You know, yeah. I don't think that forgives anything, but they did one thing wrong and then it lasted that long. Bethesda has done so much wrong with 76, where it was like, it's like, all right, this broke, that broke. Oh, well, you know, we didn't send out your canvas bag. Oh, well, this isn't what we said it would be. Oh, well,
we came up with this mold, like, and it's ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Because Battlefront 2 was an actual game. It was a finished product that they released behind a paywall, which is a shitty thing to do. Fallout 76 was 40% of a game sold at retail price.
And then asks for more money.
Yeah, and also asks for more money from you. And it was just a huge slap in the face.
Yeah. And which is, it's disappointing. But I mean, I think going back to Battle Royale, I mean, PUBG was never optimized, and then Nvidia said, "No, this is the ideal optimal graphics card that you need for this game in order for it to be optimal." And then it still wasn't optimal.
It still didn't work. It just was the best of the shit.
Well, and that's that even has some speculation as to whether or not that was the best. You know, which, yeah, right. But even then, you know, Call of Duty, they made a battle royale with Black Ops. I think it was Black Ops 4.
Yeah, I think so.
Which, honestly, I think the only issue that I've seen with it was that to a lot of people it was just kind of uninteresting. But I don't know if it's a stable battle royale experience that's done with the Call of Duty model. That doesn't sound like a bad thing to me.
If you already like Call of Duty, it's another thing to do with Call of Duty, but it's not going to sell you on Call of Duty.
Which is probably the fairest point. And if I were more into Call of Duty, I would have probably definitely hopped up on it. But I don't know. which honestly, I think we could talk a little bit more about Call of Duty as well. Because
It reminds me of, just real quick, that reminds me of when we were talking about the Tesla truck and we were like, yeah, the Tesla truck. It's the truck for car people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's the battle royale for COD people. It's like, it's not going to make you jump on the ship. It's just kind of like, okay, here's another thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. But then, I mean, it's hard for me to think of other battle royales that have come out. I mean, there was Minecraft was the first one with Hunger Games. And then, you know, then PUBG, then Fortnite, then Apex. I think the Call of Duty one came before Apex, or Blackout, as it's called. But I don't even think, I don't think Blackout got as much press.
But it was because a lot of people were just releasing lackluster titles as we want our piece of the pie. Here's our, because that is basically what Fallout, that is what Bethesda did. They just said, yes, Fallout 76 is indeed getting a battle royale, and everyone's just like, oh,
fucking
okay?
Really?
Like why? Why is this isn't it's an MMO. You're trying to have this thing be an MMO. MMOs don't need battle royale mode. We need to actually have a game that works first of all.
Yeah.
And you had things like, Realm Royale. Some of these tried to have, like, an interesting take on it, and you have classes, you have... the reason why I like Apex is that you have a really nice movement being able to climb and slide.
Yeah,
and then
with
you have
the
all
Titanfall
these,
engine.
Titanfall style movement, and then you also have these different characters that all have their different effects and abilities that it's just nice to have.
Yeah.
That's why I like it. I don't like Fortnite because it's less about fighting and it's more about how fast can you build. And I've just never taken the time to get good at building. And if you're not good at building, then all that's going to happen is you're going to shoot at someone. They're going to build a fortress in like 2 seconds. And then they're going to get the high ground, run at you and shoot you with a shotgun, which usually that's how I died all the time. I'm just sitting on the bottom, like trying to fucking put a wall up.
And so not only do you have to outgun them, you have to outgun their fortress too. And
you have to outgun and outbuild. And like, it's such a high skill cap. It is ridiculous. That game is such a high skill cap. And I just feel like the base level of everyone that I play against is way higher than where I'm at. So it's just I've never wanted to invest the time to get good at all that stuff. I think I've won maybe one or two Fortnite matches.
Yeah. It's kind of, there's this phenomenon I see. This is just how I feel about most battle royales. It's just like, there's a high skill ceiling and there's a lot of improvements you can do. It's just not appealing to me to get better at it. You know, it's like, yeah, I could get really good at it, but the process of getting good at it isn't fun. So I've got to put hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours just to be competitive at this. I don't give a shit. I don't care. Yeah.
Which is like the difference between that and Apex is like Apex is, it's a first person shooter mainly with other things around it. And to get good at that, you just have to get better at aiming and tracking and like, that's all that is, just play the game and you can get better at shooting people.
Yeah, and it's intuitive
then you also have to think of like, okay, how is my kit helpful here? And how, and you know, how can, and then who am I also shooting at right now? And okay, well, it's a Pathfinder and he just like ziplined away. So, you know, is it worth it to chase him or do we fall off and regroup and heal up and then whatever? It's interesting.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, outside of, cause with battle royales usually come with, as it is, like you were saying, Apex is inherently a first person shooter and the first person shooter experience from 2009 to 2019 was, it's changed a good bit, I'd say. And I think it was mainly through the progression of course, Call of Duty and Halo, right? Because, like, 2009 was Modern Warfare 2, you know? And Modern Warfare 2 is, like, still... Anytime someone talks, you know, intently about Call of Duty, they're like, oh, well, you know, Modern Warfare 2 was, like, the peak. Or in some cases, for a lot of people, you know? It was our Fortnite, as it is now, you know? When we'd get home from school, we'd pop open the Xbox and we would play Modern Warfare 2, you know? I think that the first-person shooter experience has definitely changed because now I think it's safe to say that for a lot of people, if it's not a first-person shooter or if it's not like a shooter action experience, then people don't usually want to play it. Like, I think the FPS market has kind of has really, really infected a lot of what people want in video games. Like if it's not like action all the time, then it's like not really in it, you know. Which brings up a lot about like the narrative experience, you know. But what do y'all feel about that?
About just
FPS taking over.
What is I don't really know what your question is about,
you know, the FPS experience has sort of become like an almost requirement for most games, you know, because
I don't agree with that at all.
You don't think so?
I don't think I don't think an FPS experience is required for a game at all.
He means is like a requirement from like the business end where they're like, it's got to be a first person shooter so that people buy it.
Maybe, but there's so many other games that are also wildly successful that aren't first-person shooters.
No, you're absolutely right. But what I mean, okay, so 2009, the two sort of games of the year were from a lot of different places, were Left 4 Dead 2 and Modern Warfare 2. You know, since then, there's been so many more requirements, like for the rest of the Call of Duty series, Halo. Halo has been on top of, you know, a story-rich experience, and on top of it having so much cool, like, lore and atmosphere and stuff like that, it's the thing that people are most hyped for for most of the console market. You know, after Call of Duty, there's so many other first person or I guess even just shooters, right? But I think
top games haven't been first person shooters in a long time.
In the past years it's changed, you're right. But
you have games like Fortnite, of course, that are like, but they're not even a first person shooter, that's a third person shooter, but it's a shooter still. Mm-hmm. Top games past few years have not been shooters at all. So I don't think that's a good point to make. Well, I mean, yeah, Modern Warfare, like Call of Duty's gonna sell because it's Call of Duty. Halo's gonna sell because it's Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, your top games are narrative driven games. Like your most critically acclaimed games of this decade are narrative driven games that have some action maybe, but they're mostly a story, like God of War, Last of Us, Sekiro, Bloodborne, like they're all action games, but like they're also narrative driven as well. So I think saying that I kind of don't get that point, and I don't agree with it.
It's more that it's the business perspective. It's they're not looking for critically acclaim generally. They're not looking for critically acclaimed. They're looking for something that sells, and what typically sells, even still, is
the action experience.
And it does shooters in general. I think it's expanded from first person to first and third person. Most companies, if they just want money, make something like that. But Devin's right. Those critically acclaimed games are the ones that are, you know, your God of War, and all that sort of stuff. Nier Automata is like wildly critically acclaimed, and I love that game. And I don't think it's sold like nearly as well as any of those other shooter games, right?
Yeah.
So it's sales, it's the shooters. Yeah. They're still like top because it's just easy to.
It's easy money.
Yeah.
And that's what I think I took it from the wrong angle, but I think that action games are the top sellers, of course, whether it's like a shooter or not. But
let's break for some ads real quick, and then we'll come back with because I wanted to keep discussing. Let's just break for ads.
Okay.
Welcome back. We're gonna continue our discussions. I think we were pretty much done with that. We were talking about mainly battle royales and I guess shooters in general. But Kevin, do you have a topic you want to talk about?
Yes, actually, when I was, you know, making my list and looking through all the games, I came across something. And I was like, you know, I just want to take just a little moment of silence for all the series that died.
Yeah.
On my list, and this is by no means a comprehensive list, you know, Dead Space died, and then Visceral Studio was closed, or Visceral Games was closed. Arguably Fallout died, Mass Effect died, Metal Gear Solid died because they got rid of Hideo Kojima, and then they made Metal Gear Survive, which is hot garbage. PT, which was for silent, a playable trailer for Silent Hills, it died before it was even born. Like, and let's see, what else do I have here? That's all I have immediately. Anthem just died. That wasn't a series, but it sucked.
That was dead on arrival.
We can also talk about
one...
flops as well, yeah.
Yeah, but that'll come up in flops. So, like, so many series just died. And it was always it, like, there's just a million different reasons. It's almost always business fuckery. It's like, oh, well, you know, we're going to have the B team work on this, like, AAA series, which is what happened to Mass Effect. They were like, well, our main BioWare team is going to work on Anthem, while the fucking B team...
That worked out really well.
Yeah, and that worked out really well. The fucking B team made Andromeda, which was hot garbage as well. So it's they just, like, double fucked up.
I mean, the Telltale experience is on life support right now.
Yeah, like, Telltale died and is, like, maybe coming back?
probably not.
It's probably not. It's really hard to say because, I mean, the last bit of content that they produced... I mean, of course, if you want to hear more, listen to our episode. But, I mean, some of the stuff... I mean, we had, like, no one heard about Guardians of the Galaxy. No one heard about the Stranger Things Telltale series. And those were, like, the last... couple things before they were like Batman and Walking Dead, and then they killed it and then they died, like, you know, and we got to see like a little bit more content, and then they're like, you know what, we're done, and it's like, oh, okay, I guess. But the Telltale genre is still there though, right? Like Detroit Become Human, Men of Medan, and the other Until Dawn like games.
Where's the other one? There's This Is Our Life or something like that.
I think so.
Oh, Life is Strange?
Life is Strange, yeah. Life is Strange is also another one that's kind of that narrative game.
There was another one. It was like Quantum something that came out for like the Xbox.
Quantum Leap?
No, that's an old show.
Is that?
That's a show, isn't it?
It's a really old show.
Quantum Break, Quantum Q something.
Quantum, yeah, Nuka-Cola Quantum. Yeah. Got it.
And that was one of those sort of narrative experiences. But it was also, it was really interesting. But I never got into it. But I remember seeing like a good bit of press about it. I don't know, multiple endings as well in games was something that I liked over the past couple of years. Like individual narrative experiences were pretty dope to see. But man, what else just absolutely crapped out? Like, I don't know, Guitar Hero, I guess.
It's
done, but
Guitar Hero Live kind of killed it.
Yeah.
What? True, yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Because it was
live
service thing, and I don't know, Zach, are they still supporting it, or did they stop?
No, they shut it down, so now you can't even play it.
Yeah, you literally can't even play it anymore.
So that's dead.
I wonder how much those controllers
Middle Earth died. Middle Earth, Shadow of War, and Shadow of Mordor. Shadow of War kind of screwed it with all its business fuckery.
Business bullshit aside, I loved those stories. Like, they really...
Well, I didn't play much, but mechanically I liked Shadow of Mordor, and I think Shadow of War was just more of that.
It was.
It's just a shame that they screwed it, because it was like a really good series that they had going, and if they just, you know, they could have made three of those easy, you know. Yeah.
I mean, the story was there. The what they added on to like pre-Third Age content. I think it was probably during the Third Age or whatever, but like what they did lore wise was really, really cool. And the stances they took on how certain characters in the Tolkien universe were portrayed were really, really cool. But like Lord of the Rings games kind of fell off after that, you know, because I mean, there were some. In my opinion, there were some good gems in the Lord of the Rings games that have been going out for like maybe I want to say probably in the decade. Like the Lord of the Rings Conquest was a cool one. War in the North came out in the past decade, which was really, really fun. It was just sort of like a combo hack and slash, but it was local multiplayer, so it was
But I feel like those games, they weren't mainstream games.
They weren't big or popular, they weren't like triple A games, they were
just kind of there, and there's a lot of people that definitely like have fond memories of them, but they were never a powerhouse game was like the Lord of the Rings games. Yeah, you know,
I mean, Battle for Middle Earth though, right? Like or was that this decade? I don't remember, but
that was not this decade.
No. then we won't talk about it. But yeah, I think the Lord of the Rings games kind of fell out a little bit.
Okay. Any other post-mortem games? Any other post-mortem? I don't think that's pretty much like... I mean, Halo kind of died for a while, and then you have the Master Chief Collection that's kind of giving it a, you know, a renaissance, but...
Yeah.
They're being really, like, drip... Yeah, they're being really, like, drip with the game, so I don't think it's really actually gonna... I mean,
playing Halo Reach the other day. It's never gonna come back, but they're gonna try to preserve... the original series as much as possible.
Yeah. I tried playing Halo Reach the other day, and it was like searching for a match for like 5 or 10 minutes, and I was like, all right, I'm not gonna play tonight.
Yeah,
because like before it was like hop on and it just immediately
get into a match, but
it took like 5 or 10 minutes, and I was like, I don't feel like playing this. Then
I think more people are gonna really hop on it once the other games are ready for PC Master Chief Collection. But I mean, I don't know. There was also I think maybe the Resident Evil series, man, like, it's not dead, of course.
It died, but it's actually coming back now. They kind of did let's go back to our roots with 7. When they did 7, they were like, let's go back to our roots. They made it first person in 7, which is out of the ordinary for them, but...
Which is fucking scary.
It did a lot better with, you know, like the mood and going back to a more subtle experience, a more localized experience. Because what happened with 4, 5, and 6 is they just kept ramping up the action until it was a world-ending threat, like every fucking time. And they're like, all right, let's chill out.
Yeah.
Let's just like make it a creepy swamp in like
Louisiana.
Just hang out in this little area. Yeah. And that was it. And then they made RE2 Remake, which. That one is excellent. That, to me, that's the kind of remake that justifies a remake, where it's like, we have, it's the same idea, but it controls different, it feels different, like, mechanically, but they made enough of a different game, but it tells the same story. I feel like it's more of like a reimagining. It's like, this is what we would have done if we could have, you know?
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that. I think one other franchise that did that, I think they did it pretty successfully, but I know it didn't get very positive press in America, was Devil May Cry. You know, they did DMC as kind of like a they tried to do it as a reboot in America, and I think a lot of people didn't really like it, but I loved it.
The general consensus is that no one likes it. Yeah. I don't remember why. I think it had a lot to do with how they portrayed the main character or something.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Of course.
Not a huge fan of the series, so I don't know, I mean, but I think that's the
way that they portrayed this younger Dante, they just kind of like, they kind of turned up the nitrous on his like sarcastic, like don't give a shit about anything attitude, and kind of left it at that. They sort of made him like in a sort of, I don't know, just like kind of bratty, which I totally see, but I didn't really care much for that. I don't know. I liked it. I know a lot of people didn't, but what I'm excited for is Devil May Cry 5, because I got it over the holiday sales, but I never did play it yet. So
mm-hmm. Same here. I've actually never played any of them, so that's going to be my jumping on point, because I remember this dude that I used to work with, and Zach knows him. He's like all about Devil May Cry, the series. Yeah. And when Devil May Cry 5 came out, they're like, oh man, they just perfected the action fighting genre and blah blah blah. And now this dude's a bit of a character. He's a bit much to handle, but yes. I do trust that
his opinion,
it's probably the best of the series, because most people agree. So it's like, hey, it's a good jumping on point. I probably won't understand some of the backstory shit. But you know, I could go read the wiki if I want.
I mean, yeah, the wiki's good. Even if you're ever able to go back and play like 3 and then 4, that's probably as much as you need.
I heard 3 and 4 are when they really got good, because I think that's when they got rid of like the tank controls, right?
Yes, because I mean, 3 was Devil May Cry 3 was PS2, kind of like in the. I don't know exactly when, but I want to say it was probably the peak of the heyday, right? Because when I heard about the PS2 as a kid, what came with it was, hey, it's Devil May Cry 3. And I remember being at Devin's old house and they showed it to me and I was like, what is this magic? And they're like, this is a hack and slash. and I don't know. I love when people are able to put the hack and slash genre into something cool as opposed to just mindless hack and slash. And I think Devil May Cry did a good job of that.
Yeah, when you have to have like a level of mastery, that's when those games get appealing. Because, yeah. Hey, I'll just throw it out there while I've got it on the brain. Fury came out in the past decade. And yeah. That's a game that's really, really fun to master. It's like playing it once is like, okay, cool. I got like the story and it was pretty fun. But like you could play it again and again and again and get better mm-hmm. and better and better and better. You don't have to. But it's really, really appealing to do that. And for me, that's like one of the top games of the decade. I still go back and play it. And since I can beat the speedrun mode in like an hour, it's fun to just pick up, run it, and, you know, all right, cool. I had my fun, you know.
Yeah.
It's just fun to master games like that.
Yeah. What are, I'll leave it open. What are some other games that y'all think that people are like really sleeping on in the past decade? Like, what are some personal favorites that either may not have gotten good press or just like people don't really play them much or hear or talk about them anymore or weren't really talked about much when they came out?
Well, very recent, but I think not enough people are playing Indivisible. But, you know, I won't bang on that drum too much. I just think it's a really exceptional game, particularly in how it, you know, has its characters and a like all the character progression is very good in that game. So it's just, it feels good to watch these characters grow and learn life lessons over this story. And to me, it's such a worthwhile game to play. And I don't know enough people who are playing it.
Yeah, and it's I snagged that on the market when it was on sale, but that's one of those other things that I just haven't played either. But Devin, Zach, are there any of those like personal favorites that people kind of sleep on in the past couple of years?
Not really.
No.
I think my personal favorites are games that a good bit of people have played. I mean, from the past decade, probably favorite games have been Skyrim, Minecraft, Terraria, the Binding of Isaac games, FTL, Payday, games that a lot of people have, like, I don't think anyone slept on any of those games. Maybe not a lot of people played some of those, but people who did played them said, oh yeah, this is an amazing game.
Most of what you mentioned are pretty big hits, even in like in the both in the AAA market and in the indie market, but I could see that for sure.
Yeah, like a lot of the games I'm like, oh man, not a lot of people play it. It's because they're weird, you know. Mushroom 11 came out in the past decade. Mushroom 11 is fucking weird. It's a weird platformer where you have this big blob, and if like you erase shit on the right side of it, it grows shit on the left side of it, and that's how you move. And that, like, you have to learn how to climb and move and kind of jump. It's very strange, and it's like, I get why not a lot of people played this game. I really like it.
Yeah, I mean, you have to understand, like, a lot of those games are also just like indie titles that, I mean, there's no advertising for it. You just have to kind of find it, or it got put in a Humble Bundle pack, and that's how people get it. And a lot of those, and there's a lot of good games that no one's played because there's a lot of games out there, and not everyone can advertise.
There's a lot of games, and a lot of it is shit.
Sometimes you just have to find them. Yeah, sometimes you just have to find them, and Legend of Grimrock, that was a really good game from this decade that I really enjoyed. And it's also not a very popular game though, but I mean it is what it is. I don't think there's any I don't have an underrated game at the top of my head right now.
Gotcha. There was just going back to Kevin's talked about just like weird games. The probably the weirdest game that I've played in this past decade was Dante's Inferno. Like, I don't know if how much y'all remember of that game, but it was for Xbox 360, and it was one of the weirdest fucking games I've ever played. Like,
it was kind of like Darksiders and God of War and Devil May Cry. It was basically along the same lines of that.
It was a demon hack and slash, but like I guess and I don't know how true to tale it is, because I never really went through Dante's Inferno like I've been wanting to. But their portrayals of the stuff that goes on, I mean, you're in hell, so I there's some room for understanding, but like the way that they portray some of the shit that goes on in the Rings of Hell, you're like, oh my god, like it's really, really bizarre. But I mean, I get it. It's just still a weird experience.
Yeah, that was one of those games. There were a few games that did it. There were, it was where they did like the ad campaign, and it was like, I more particularly remember it with like Dead Space, but a lot of other games did it where they just like, oh, your mom's not gonna like this game, and then they sat a bunch of like fucking like uptight Christian mothers in front of the game, and they're like, oh dear. It's just like, all right.
Oh man. Oh, sorry, that got me. No, and you're exactly right. I mean, it goes to show that, I mean, what has become popular, probably not anymore. I don't think died. But at around like the probably the early 2010s, like the market was, and probably around the mid thousands too, but if we're just talking about in the scope of the tens mainly, you know, the paradigm did shift from a previously like boom in like the nitty gritty blood and gory, like that whole violent experience. Like, I don't know, Gears of War, right, is another franchise that
fucking chainsaw, and you just saw your enemy in half. Yeah, okay.
An assault rifle mixed with the chainsaw, like, the whole thing, and like, you're going on another planet, and you're sawing aliens in half, and you're like, okay, I got it, loud and
okay,
clear.
Okay, cool, gotcha. Yeah, that was kind of that, that started before the decade, but like it definitely carried into this decade. Like,
yeah, I mean, Gears of War 3 was this decade, I want to say. But even then, I mean, Gears of War 4, I remember that was pretty crazy too. And I haven't played Gears 5, but I hear it's pretty good.
It's a series that kind of like it's dying, is the thing. Because just, it's not that it's getting worse, I just think people care less, you know? Like, people are just like, all right, there's five of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the hype is there. I just think it's been so long since we've seen a Gears resurgence. Because I think they did another thing in between 4 and 5 that people are like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the thing with, like,
I think it was, like, Judgment Day or something like that. Or
yeah, it was Judgment Day, and Baird and Coltrane, I think, were, like, the main characters for that one.
Yeah, right.
Zach, what kind of topics you got for us? What do you want to bring up for this decade?
We kind of covered pretty much all the stuff that I was thinking of.
Oh boy! All right.
Probably one of the bigger games that came up in this decade. I mentioned it earlier, was Skyrim. Came out in 2011, and
came out again and again,
and came out again and again and again and again and again, and it's gotten released. I mean, the Switch just came out what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and it got released on the Switch.
Released in February of 2017.
Yeah, so like two years ago. Oh, a little over 2 years ago, almost three years ago now.
Almost three.
Jeez. And yeah, got released on the Switch. That's the biggest, probably the biggest game of the decade, I would say. I would say that's the best game of the decade, or the most popular of the decade, or something, just because of the sheer amount of people that still play it and still put hours and hours into it.
I would still definitely say it's one of the most popular. I don't think it's one of the best, but it is one of the most popular games.
Not the best, but definitely like the most popular of, like, I would say it's a contender for like the most popular of the 20 2010s.
Yeah. It also has like one of the biggest modding communities behind it as well.
Yes. And that's why I think that's why it stayed out so long is that the modders, which again, going into modders, another game is Minecraft got released in 2012 as well.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Like that's still being played plenty. It got purchased by Microsoft like 3 or 4 years ago. Or no, I think in 2016 they purchased them.
Yeah,
that's four years ago.
It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. So I think they got purchased by Microsoft in like 2016, and then it's still that was one of the biggest breakthroughs of the early indie scene that was happening, and yeah, it's probably the biggest game of. Another one of the biggest games of the decade that I can think of.
Definitely absolutely. One of the most popular.
Well, because yeah. I mean, when Fortnite came out, the discussion or the battle that Fortnite had became less of competing with Blue Hole and with PUBG and all that, and it actually began to contend a lot more with Minecraft as the best multiplayer, because like Minecraft was still way up there just in 2018. If not top five, then top 10 for sure. Like it's millions of people still play it, and it's the market there is still so vast, and it's on
want to get back into it because I want to do a Skyblock playthrough. I've been thinking about that lately, is get back into Minecraft and do Skyblock, but we'll see if that actually happens.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Kevin, that's really what I wanted to mention was that. Probably the two biggest games of the decade that came to mind. Well, the three biggest games that came to mind immediately were Fortnite, Skyrim, and Minecraft. Like those three releases, it's crazy the longevity of Minecraft and Skyrim, and then it's also crazy how big and insane and it spawned its own race of its own like a race to get the biggest shares of the battle royale scene, and that's what Fortnite did for us. It's weird to like think about like where would the gaming industry be without those three titles right now?
Right, right. I mean, something else. It maybe not as impactful, but something another company that's been standing its hold. Longevity in its decade was Assassin's Creed. I mean, we joked about in the episode that like after 3, you know, there was this huge dip and no one really cared about it. But I mean, I don't know. It's been. I think every title has been popular, just some less than others. But Assassin's Creed is another one that's like they're about to do a really big one. You know.
But I think that's like I wouldn't really consider Assassin's Creed on the same level. Assassin's Creed's like right now they're kind of like it's on the same level as like maybe Final Fantasy, where it's like there's always going to be a Final Fantasy game to play. There's always going to be a most recent Final Fantasy game to play, but how much hype is it going to get? And I don't think Assassin's Creed is on the same field as Minecraft, Skyrim, and Fortnite at all.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed, it's just they're two different types of successful, where like Fortnite and Minecraft, they're all just like single games that keep going and keep selling, and you just kind of keep tweaking it. And Assassin's Creed is more like more like Madden, where they release one every so often and just people buy it. And then they release another one, and then people buy it.
Yeah, because there's fans of the game, so if you make another one, they will buy it and play it. But you know, Skyrim, Fortnite, and Minecraft are so overarching that they're so overarching that like a lot of people have played it, even though they might not have been fans of that. Like a lot of people's introductions to Elder Scrolls was Skyrim, so.
Mm-hmm.
So do we need to wrap up? Actually,
I don't think. Yeah, I think we need to. I talked a lot about.
We can do a part two
Yeah,
if we need to come back and visit this.
Yeah, there are some honorable mentions for sure that we can get into if we wanted to, but I think that I've covered what I wanted to cover.
Let's actually, can we just do like a quick, like, what is your top of the decade? Like just give us a game, a franchise, whatever, top of the decade.
I would probably say Legend of Zelda still. It's a bit redundant, but like, the stuff, the content that they've pushed out for Zelda in the past 10 years, especially with Breath of the Wild and what's come after that.
When was Wind Waker released?
Wind Waker was
long time
06.
Ago. That was like...
Oh no, was it 05?
06?
I want to say it was either 05 or 06.
Wind Waker was 2002.
Oh wow.
2002, yeah. Okay.
It was early 2000s.
Twilight Princess was 05, 06, because that was when the Wii came out.
Okay.
Yes.
So this decade saw Skyward Sword.
It did see Skyward Sword, unfortunately.
It saw Skyward Sword and Breath of the Wild in that.
And
that's
Link's
it.
Awakening.
And I guess technically the new remake.
Yeah, the remake.
Well, the remake, but yeah. Okay. So Legend of Zelda has been your top of the decade. What about you, Kevin?
You know, I don't have a single top, but you know, the things that really, really stick out to me from the decade were like Nier Automata, Fury, Indivisible, A Hat in Time, and the Soulsborne series. Really, really like fucking dominated. Like Demon's Souls was before the decade, but Dark Souls, Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 3, Bloodborne, Sekiro.
Yeah.
All of that was in this decade.
I was going to mention that. Probably the Soulsborne series was my top of the decade, definitely. What about you, Zach?
It would either be between like either Kingdom Hearts, but most of those were all just re-releases, or the Borderlands series, since I've put
I figured the Borderlands series would be yours. Yeah.
Two pre-sequel and three came out this decade.
Yep. All right, so yeah, well, we have to cut this a little bit shorter than we expected, but we might, if there's more topics that we didn't discuss, we might come back with a second part later on. But thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Tombstone Podcast. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. Was it Tombstone_pod?
Yeah.
Right? Or is it Tombstone_podcast for Instagram?
Twitter is Tombstone_pod. Instagram is Tombstone_podcast. And Tombstone Podcast is the same handle for all of our other outlets in the podcast world. Yeah.
Yeah. You can find us on everything from Apple, Apple Podcast and Spotify and whatever else you want. Please leave us a review on the Apple Podcast or wherever you can leave a review for us on. That would be really appreciated. And join us next week for whatever we talk about, whatever the hell we're talking about again. thank you again for listening. Goodbye.
See ya.